Hey, welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast, brought to you by CloudSpot, the easiest and all-in-one solution to deliver and even sell your photos online. I'm your host, Raymond Hatfield, and each week here on the podcast, you're going to learn tips and tricks from me and some of the world's best photographers on how you can use your camera to capture more compelling moments. Today, we have an episode from the BPP Vault, where we revisit our treasure trove of interviews to offer both new and longtime listeners the chance to uncover these powerful insights and practical tips to enhance your photography skills. So whether you're listening with fresh ears or a new perspective, remember, there's always something new to learn. What's that phrase? We never step into the same creek twice. In today's BPP Rewind, we are talking about how to cultivate your creativity and define your voice. Finding your voice or your style in photography is both way easier than you'd think, and it's also infinitely harder than it sounds. Like all things, it's simple, but it's still hard. But in this episode, I'm going to introduce you to how to systematically start to figure out what your style is and how to achieve it. And be sure to stick around until the end of the episode, where I'm going to give you a recap along with your 3 points for your photography action plan. So let's go ahead and get on into this episode. I have found that, you know, kind of when talking to many of you, that your idea of creativity or of what creativity is, it can be easily skewed, I think, by many factors. Yet, whatever you think that it is, we all want it, right? You may think that what creativity is different than me. But despite thinking that they may be two different things, we still all want it. Creativity. Now, recently I was reading Chris Orwig's book, The Creative Fight, right? And in it, Chris Orwig says, when we witness creativity, it gives us the courage to be creative ourselves. Ooh, I got goosebumps. Creativity, it feels like a superpower. Like when you're in it, you often don't realize it. It just feels like you're kind of putting in the work. But once you recognize that you're in that state of creativity, it vanishes. So I know that for me, I personally really need to define my creativity. What is, like, what do I consider being creative? And unfortunately, defining creativity can be pretty difficult. You could say that it is coming up with a unique solution to a problem. Well, okay, so maybe actually that was pretty easy. Wow. Okay, what am I trying to say here? So in practice, I like rules. I like knowing what needs to be done, and I like knowing when it needs to be done by. But as you know, creativity is kind of like a horse. Like, what's the phrase? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't force it to drink. So just because you put on your favorite lo-fi playlist on Spotify doesn't mean that your horse called creativity is actually going to drink. Now, today I want to talk about creativity and kind of the misconceptions that I had as a new photographer, in the hopes that by the end of this podcast, you're going to realize that, you know, what kind of creativity, what kind of creative, I guess, you are, so that you can set yourself up to better get into the zone, right? I think that self-awareness is really important when it comes to creativity. Now, I started off this podcast with a quote by Chris Orwig, and now I have another one here by Ira Glass. Ira Glass says that we pursue our creative endeavors because we have good taste. Then we quickly give up on our creative pursuits because our good taste says that what we create is bad. So think about that, right? We get into photography because we like looking at photos. We can tell the difference between a good photo and a bad photo. But yet when we pick up the camera and we start taking those photos, our good taste that says what photos are good and what photos are bad says, oh, our photos are bad. So we give up. We give up on those creative pursuits. And I know that in my life, my, you know, quote unquote good taste has stopped me from a million things. It has stopped me from pursuing pottery, pursuing painting, skating, playing the bass, sketching, and so many other things. For you, it could be cooking. It could be botany. Yeah, botany? What's the, right? Is it horticulture? Like, when you like plants, right? You like spending time with plants. You like putting plants together. I don't know. But maybe for you, you know, your good taste is stopping you from photography. Again, like I said, you know a good photo from a bad photo when you see it, but you have a hard time capturing that good photo versus a bad photo. And if your taste is telling you, you know, why can't you take photos like what you see online? Well, I want you to know that your taste is, it's only trying to help you. Now, if your love language is words of affirmation, then trust me, I completely understand how hard it is to keep going when you hear that voice in your own head telling you that everybody else is better. But that being said, I am here to help you get to the point to where, you know, when you hear that voice in your head questioning what you're doing, you will be able to say, okay, hold on, bro. Hold on. I know what I'm doing here. And I believe that all starts with defining your taste. It's kind of a three-step process, but I believe that it starts with defining your taste. Now, rationally, okay, if we're being honest with ourselves, we can't expect to be fantastic at something like photography, in which people dedicate their lives to. You know, we can't expect to be fantastic at that on our first go or our first 100 goes. But emotionally, we do expect that. We all want that. We all want to be able to pick up that thing and just be a rock star at it out of the gate, because I mean, that feels like you're skipping so many steps, like you just got it and it's a natural talent. But again, rationally, we know that that's not how things work. So to prevent your taste from crushing your dreams, we need to tell it what it can and cannot critique. But to do that, you have to practice your photography, but you need to practice your photography with intention. Now, I know that you've heard me talk about intention before, as I believe that is one of the main pillars of creativity and artistry, is being able to create with intention. But most new photographers, now tell me if I'm wrong here, or if this sounds familiar, you know, you love photography, you buy yourself a camera, what do you shoot? Well, you go out to your local park, your local trail, and you hope to capture just whatever you see, you know, just happens to be in front of your camera. Whoa, bird. Whoa, look at that beautiful flower. That's a terrible shutter sound, but whatever. And then we expect that we come home with just like diamonds, right? Just amazing photos, just fantastic, that we are going to want to immediately print out and hang on our walls. But again, rationally, let's break this down. Rationally, professionals, I mean like working professional photographers, shooting massive gigs, like corporate campaigns, very experienced photographers, need to know what it is that they're shooting before they shoot. They need to have an idea or concept before they pick up their camera. Otherwise, how do you really know if you did a good job? Right? If an energy company comes to you and says, hey, will you take some photos for us? Like, what's your next question? Of what? Like, what do you want photos of? You know, what are you going to do with these photos? What do you want to portray with these photos? So why do you think you can just, or at least for me, I guess I'm asking myself this. Why? Because I know that I did this as a new photographer. Why did I think that I could just show up at a park or a trail and just snap a few photos and they were going to be magnificent? I don't know why we think that we can bypass this step. But when you, maybe it's an ego thing again, because everybody feels like they have good taste, right? So maybe it's that ego thing, that if we feel like we have to have instructions, how important is taste? Like, what is it actually doing for us? We feel like we should be able to come up with these things, and our taste should help us to capture these things just on a whim. But again, rationally, that doesn't make any sense. Like, you wouldn't expect a doctor Now, again, I know that photography is very different than medicine, okay? But you wouldn't expect a doctor to be like, man, I love medicine. I just really want to get into this field. And I think that I'm going to be able to figure it out as I go. No, you want them to kind of follow some sort of proven path. You want them to be able to follow a decision tree so that they don't screw something up big time. Now, if you've seen any of my Fuji Photo Walk videos that I have posted on YouTube, then you know that this is where I go out and I shoot without knowing what I'm going to encounter. But I always give myself parameters of what I will shoot so that I can know if I am successful. Now, still, again, if you've seen any of the videos, you know that I come back with photos that I'm not going to be hanging on my walls. I'm not going to be printing them out. But if they fit the theme and goal for my photo walk, that's all I care about. And then I can tell my taste, you know, that these photos don't suck because they were exactly what I wanted to capture. So step one, define your taste. Step two, take a drink of tea. All right, step three. No, just kidding. Step two, now we need to cultivate our taste. Now, cultivating our taste, I believe, is both the easiest and the hardest thing that we can do, okay? So we've listened to our taste. We know that it's there. Now we kind of have to train it, right? It's kind of like a puppy. Like, we have a puppy. Like, we see that it is a dog, but, like, one day it will be a good dog. One day it won't be pooping all over the house. One day it won't be chewing up shoes. But now, how do we get it there? How do we train this dog to be able to not do that? How do we cultivate our taste? Now, to cultivate your taste, you just dive into the things that you love. That's it. Sounds easy. All right, game over. No, but again, I cannot stress the importance of being intentional with what you surround yourself with, because not all things are created equal, and not all things that somebody else finds as inspiration will you find as inspiration. I know, and I've spoke with many photographers here on the podcast who have said that they draw their inspiration from music. And personally, I can't wrap my head around that. I don't get it. I don't draw inspiration for photos through music, unless it's a very literal sense. Now, several years ago, I was watching a show called No Reservations with Anthony Bourdain. And if you haven't seen the show, Chef Anthony Bourdain travels the world to experience local culture and local cuisine, right? And he goes to a new place every time. And in this particular episode that I was watching, Anthony met up with his friend and fellow accomplished chef, Sean Brock. And if you don't know who Sean Brock is, well, in 2010, Sean Brock won the James Beard Award for Best Chef. He is a four-time finalist for Outstanding Chef of the Year, as well as a three-time finalist for Rising Star Chef. Sean Brock has hosted season two of the Emmy Award-winning television show Mind of a Chef and has started a lifelong project entitled Before It's Too Late, in which he is dedicated to recording and sharing the cultural and culinary wisdom of the American South. Whew. That was a lot right there. Okay, so all of that to say that Chef Sean Brock, you got to be able to enunciate well for that one. He knows his food, right? His understanding of food is an understatement. So where do you think Chef Sean Brock and Chef Anthony Bourdain went to go dine? The Waffle House. And surprising to me, it wasn't to make fun of it. Now, I think that we can all agree here, okay, we're all adults, that the Waffle House is not a contender to be the next Michelin star rated restaurant, okay? But Sean looks at not only the food, but the experience as a whole, and in this clip, you can actually find it on YouTube, of him going to this Waffle House with Anthony Bourdain, the exact clip that I'm talking about. He says that as a kid, the Waffle House was fascinating. He says, this place was fascinating to me. I could actually see people cooking. And they were cooking for people who were out of control. And still, they were able to provide hospitality. And then he went on talking about the pecan waffles. He says, you have to just crush it with homogenized oil from the butter, and it has to be swimming in syrup. You don't come here expecting the French Laundry. Now, the French Laundry is it's a restaurant. It's a world-renowned restaurant just right outside of Napa's wine country. But that statement, you don't come here expecting the French Laundry, I think that that is his way of cultivating his own taste, right? He's reining it in. He's like, look, you're not going to take over this one for me. Now, I think that when you can accept something for what it is, when you can accept something for as simple as it is, and not simply the sum of the ingredients that go into it, then you can open up the door to something really special. And I believe that that right there is the key to really creative thinking. Think of how hard and how brave it must be to be a trained chef, to go on national TV and express your love for a chain restaurant who cares far more about its profits than it does its own ingredients. Now, I don't think that Chef Sean Brock is claiming that the pecan waffle at the Waffle House is the world's best waffle. But when you take it all in and you accept it for what it is, it's a pretty amazing thing. As a photographer, we can all do the same. Find the people who speak to you the most, right? Who is doing something? Who's doing, you know, the types of photos that you just feel drawn to, and for whatever reason, If you can take a list of 10 people and then you just dig through their work, then list out the things that you love most about what it is that they're doing, right? Why do you love their work? What do you think they stand for? And then if you really want to take it next level, come up with five or so rules for you to follow when developing your own creativity, when you're out shooting, based on, you know, those 10 other photographers whose work you just absolutely love. Now for Sean, right, one of his rules for cooking might be that cooking has to be fun, or it has to be immersive.
Hey, Raymond here. If you're sometimes baffled by which camera settings to use, then I've got just the thing for you. My free guide, Picture Perfect Camera Settings. It's a fantastic starting point for anybody eager to understand the basics of camera settings in various shooting scenarios. And it's tailored to beginners who want to get out of auto mode, providing clear, easy-to-follow suggestions on where to start with your settings. So whether you're capturing a stunning landscape or a family portrait, Picture Perfect Camera Settings will help you to get off of automatic mode and explore the possibilities your camera offers. Remember, mastering photography settings is a journey, and this guide is your first step and the perfect resource to guide you towards finding the right settings for your style. So grab your copy today at perfectcamerasettings.com and start your journey to better photos.
Not the world's best, but it has to be fun and it has to be immersive. Now, if you're struggling with this, I want to help you out. And I want to give you my free ebook with 46 creative photography ideas for you to try out, which you can download. It is on the resources page over at beginnerphotographypodcast.com, or you can find the link in the show notes of this episode right here. Again, 46 creative photography ideas for you to try out. Free. Go ahead and download it now. Now, step three, we're going to do another sip of tea here. Go ahead and enjoy yourself some tea. Earl Grey, lemon ginger. Ooh, sing to me.
All right. So step three here is to evolve your taste. Now, I got a question for you. I love questions. I love questions that make us think, that make us ponder, make us wonder about things, because oftentimes we see something for what it is, and that's it. Now, could you imagine if after Henry Ford developed the car, the Model T, if the Dodge brothers doubled down on horse-drawn carriages, what do you think Dodge would be today? They wouldn't be in business. Now, could you imagine if, Kodak doubled down on film when Canon started manufacturing digital camera? Wait, that is exactly what happened. Do you want to live in a world that resists change? I mean, Canon was on top. They were on top. Nobody could beat Canon. They were like the Coke to Pepsi. Nobody could beat them. But they resisted change. And now, well, I mean, they filed for bankruptcy. They've changed, you know, CEOs, leadership many times, just trying to get it back on track. But when you embrace change, I mean, change is a really powerful thing when you embrace it. And just like, you know, your skill set that continues to strengthen as you continue to practice, so should your taste. You're not going to be the same photographer that you were on day one than you are on day 1001, right? So why do you expect everything else to be the same? Don't try to fit it into a box. Evolve with it. Now, I remember when I was in film school, a buddy and I had this joke that whenever anything – this is going to sound so stupid. You'd be like, that was a joke? Wow, that's super lame. Whenever anything looked bad, whether it be in a scene in a movie or just like everyday life, we'd make this joke, be like, you know what this needs? 2K for now with some diffusion, right? A 2K is it's a light with a 2,000-watt bulb inside. It's pretty bright. But it got to the point to where we joked about it so much that I let that influence how I would shoot a scene. I thought that like this was going to be my thing, my style. It's going to be my style to light all talent with a 2K and some diffusion. So I tried it on a few scenes and it worked. It was pretty cool. But then I had a scene that was outside and, well, 2K just wasn't able to provide the power that I needed. And then we were working in a small space and the 2K was just far too powerful. And honestly, it was too big. It, like, in the workspace that we were in, and then we all kind of had to move around it, and it just didn't fit that scene. So as I was shooting, I gained knowledge. I gained knowledge on what works. I gained knowledge on what doesn't work. And my taste, it changed. Suddenly, that idea of the 2K diffusion wasn't everything. So this is that thing in the beginning that I loved and I no longer loved. And I really think that's often the case for new photographers who they get their hand on Photoshop and, you know, they start doing selective coloring. I did this, you know, and this is where the entire image is black and white, but maybe the shoes or the lips are just red. This is something that in the beginning you're like, wow, that's really cool. That's really interesting. And then your tastes change. And that's okay. In fact, I think it's great because creativity is simply your brain's ability to link two ideas together in your brain. And if you just simply did the same thing day in, day out, same idea, don't change it. Here we go. Let's do this again. Then you are not being your best to be creative.
I hope you enjoyed this one. To recap today's episode, I want to give you a photography action plan that is three steps to help you achieve what it is that you learned here today. So step number one in the photography action plan is to define your taste. Just brainstorm. Sit down with a piece of paper and just think about in your head, what are the elements in a photograph that really resonate with you the most? You don't have to be looking at photos. Just sit down and think about them. What are they? Write them down. From visual style, themes, subject matter, you know, whatever it is, just start to write them down. That list of qualities and characters is going to help you moving forward into step two, which is to cultivate your taste. Try to immerse yourself in works of photographers who inspire you. If you find something interesting online, on Instagram, honestly, take time to go to Flickr. Flickr is still such a huge treasure trove of photos that have been posted. You can find so many different types of photography there, but just by searching, you know? So find photographers who inspire you and then spend time trying to analyze their images a bit, identifying what it is that specifically speaks to you. Then create a set of guidelines or rules based on those common traits that you admire in other works and the tastes that you wrote down in the previous step. And then you can utilize those rules as a framework for your photography to align your style with your artistic preferences when shooting. And that's how it starts to build, which brings us to step three, which is to practice with intention. So a lot of people say that they don't have enough time to practice. You know, oh, I don't have an hour every day to go out and shoot. I don't even know if I have an hour a week to practice photography. That's fine. You can get so much done in just 10 minutes as long as you're practicing with intention. So try to approach your next either photo shoot or photo walk with a specific objective or theme in mind. So define what you aim to capture, or the emotions, or the story that you want to convey through your images, based on the framework of your taste that you have created in the past two steps that you want to put into your images. Because practicing with deliberate intention not only speeds up the process, but will help you to also better articulate what your visual style is and how to go after it while you are out shooting. Now, I want to invite you to share your biggest lesson from this interview in the free and private beginner photography podcast community, where you can connect with me and others, along with share your ideas and ask questions. So you can join again for free over at beginnerphotopod.com/group. So come join us, you know, and let us know what you're going to be implementing into your photography and get inspired. Until next week, remember, the more that you shoot today, the better of a photographer you will be tomorrow. Talk soon.
Thank you for listening to the Beginner Photography Podcast. Keep shooting, and we'll see you next week.